Truly honored to be up here delivering the message of God today. Trevor asked me a couple weeks ago, so I've had a couple weeks to prepare, but you know how God is. He usually says, you can prepare all you want, but this is what I want you to say, and that's kind of the way this went. I was gonna go with temptation and desire, which is what we all struggle with, and ended up led to responsibility. And I think it really, probably the reason it happened was because last week Trevor started preaching out of Titus and started making me think about responsibility. So here we are. But before I get started, I think the most important thing is probably to talk to anyone and everyone who's here who hasn't accepted Christ as their Savior. Because when I start speaking about responsibility, I'm going to be speaking to each and every person in this room after you've accepted Christ, because you have a responsibility. The first responsibility is, though, to believe what I'm about to tell you. Actually, let's change that, to believe what the Word of God is about to tell you. I'm going to start in the book of John, verse 1. I just want to read a little bit of it to you. It's not even really in my sermon notes, but I think for anyone who doesn't believe, who has never heard the gospel of Christ, it really all starts right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to all those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And I'm talking about Jesus. Actually, John was talking about Jesus. I just read about Jesus. He was there in the beginning. He left. God's one and only Son left heaven, a place that we can't even imagine, to come to this place for each and every one of us here, for each and every one of us that was before, and for each and every one of us that is to come. He came here to go through the same trials that we did. And I believe I preached before on some temptation years ago, and he was tempted just the way that we are, probably even more. I've never been took up on the top of a building and said I could have everything. Or I never was took up to the top of a mountain and say, if you bow down and worship me, you can be over all this. And I would like to think that I could overcome that, but I think that would be pretty tough. But he went through everything that we went through. Desire, temptation. God was human on this earth, yet still God. And he did all of this and came and he died as the perfect sacrifice for each and every one of us on the cross. The greatest message, the greatest story, the greatest truth is that he came and died for each and every one of you, for those before and those to come. Jesus said it himself in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For us, all you have to do is believe. And if you truly believe, you're going to understand your responsibilities. And that's where I wanted to start today, is responsibility and belief. So I'm going to tell you right now, if there's somebody in this room that's never heard that story or never thought of it like that, today's your day. You've heard it. You've heard the gospel message that God sent his son for you. I would pray to him and ask for this change in your life so that you can have the same change that I have felt in my life. Because none of us are the same as we were before. But now I have this personal responsibility. Corey, so I've got some verses up here to talk about some personal responsibility, because we all have personal responsibility. When I was, I don't know, I was 12, 13, I don't even remember, but I was baptized at a young age in the Sea of Galilee. I probably told this before, but it was in the Sea of Galilee. That was the name of the pool at church camp. Great time. My grandpa Chad came down and God used him to put me under the water and bring me out a new person. But I still did a lot of bad things after that. I was pretty young, okay? But to God, they're all equal, right? Sin is equal to God. It doesn't matter what sin is. You guys have to understand that. Sin is equal to God. But at that point, responsibility starts. And a change was made in me. I see it now. Really see it now as I've gotten older, that I have changed. And I continue to change each and every day. Still not perfect, never will be perfect. When I get mad, I say things that sailors shouldn't say. And when I do things that I shouldn't do. And I know that. It's kind of like what Paul preached. I don't always do the right thing, but I have a responsibility still. And the fact is that I've taken a position at this church and a position as a Christian that I have more responsibility than just myself. That's a tough thing to swallow sometimes when you start thinking, as you have when you have a family, you have the responsibility of your family. But when you come into this church house and you take on a leadership role or a leadership role anywhere, you have a bigger responsibility than yourself. When you become a Christian, you have a bigger responsibility than yourself. So let's go. Let's talk about some personal responsibility. I'm going to start out in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And I didn't put any of the words up on the screen. I wanted to hear some pages ruffle, and we're going to go through quite a few here. So we're going to start with Colossians chapter 3, 22 through 24. So, personal responsibility. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only with their eyes on you or to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence to the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So your first responsibility is to serve the Lord in everything that you do. Everything. So that means when I'm at school as a principal, I'm still serving the Lord. When you're at work doing what you do, you're serving the Lord. When you're at home doing what you do, you're serving the Lord. We are to do every activity. If I'm out cutting wood, should be doing it to serve the Lord. So it's a pretty big responsibility. And you really have to think about yourself and what you're doing when you're doing it. But the main point is, we're to do everything to serve the Lord. So that means if you're thinking about cheating somebody while you're working, might want to rethink it, right? Because we're to do it to serve the Lord. God's watching each and everything that we do. because we have a responsibility. Luke chapter 12, verse 42 through 48. The Lord answered, "Who then is faithful and a wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants and gives to them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time coming.' He then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on that day that he does not expect, in that hour that he's not aware of, and he will cut him into pieces and assign him to a place of the unbelievers. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows, but the one who does not know or who does know and does the things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." The last part of that is where I really want to focus, because if you believe in the words that I spoke at the beginning, that Jesus came and died for you, you're entrusted with a lot, with much. You're entrusted with, think about what you're entrusted with. You're entrusted with the information that saves a person's soul. That's a lot of information. You're entrusted with a lot of information. Now, for those of you who have taken leadership roles in this church, or leadership roles anywhere, think about what you're entrusted with. You're entrusted with the same information that I'm trusted with, and you have the extra responsibility because you're not only, you are serving God in a different role. So you're entrusted with a lot. Romans 14, 12. I'm actually going to back up to 11. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess to God." And in verse 12 says, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." You serve the Lord, you're entrusted with much, and you're held to a higher standard. It's personal responsibility, everybody. You're held to a higher standard. You have to look at yourself differently. You have to want to do your best each and every day. I mean, so when I say all this, some of you might be thinking, what's the requirements then? Well, what's the requirements? Okay? You're personally responsible to other people. So let's look at Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. I've actually, a long time ago, did a sermon on this too. Micah 6, 6 through 8. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God." So the requirements here are this: to act justly, love faithfulness, and walk humbly with God. So when I say to walk justly, it's more than just talk. Okay, I can get up here and God can speak through me, and I could say all these great things, but if I walk out this door and I don't live like it, is that gonna do any good? What am I going to be called? Hypocrite. 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 I'm held to a higher standard. We are all held to a higher standard. When we walk out this door, the only requirements we really have, though, is to act justly, because it's more than just talk. To love faithfulness. And I want you to know this. This is how we treat others. When I talk about faithfulness, how do we treat others? Are we merciful? Our God is merciful. Are we merciful? That's a huge question, right? Do we show mercy to others? If you're in a position of power, do you show mercy to others? It's a tough one sometimes. And to walk humbly with God, that is basically your lifestyle. Act justly. Love faithfulness and walk humbly with God. That's the requirement. So when I'm talking about personal responsibility, we're here to serve. We've been trusted with a lot, okay? And we're held to a higher standard. Now, that's personal responsibility. Let's talk about our families. Everybody, we have families, okay? What does God require of us? When in respect to our family, that's a tough one too. It's tough when you're dealing with your family. Now, we could talk about church family, because let's face it, everybody in this room right now, we're church family, okay? And then you got your family, your kids, your grandkids, your parents, your cousins, whether you claim them or not, they're your family, okay? But we have a responsibility to our family. Exodus 20:12, I'm not going to turn there, but I mean, honor your father and mother. One of the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and mother. Honor your parents. Now, not everybody has great parents. I've been blessed with great parents, okay? But not everybody does. But guess what? It's not really necessarily whether they deserve it or not. It's the position of the parent. To honor your parents. You need to show your family love, honor, and respect. I'm going to go back to Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. We are to live in peace. We are to pursue peace, even in our families. The church family, our personal families. It's a responsibility of ours as Christians, as Christ followers, is to live in peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. As I was writing this sermon, I got to really think about life and our world as it is today, and how if everybody would just think about pursuing peace, that doesn't mean giving up your beliefs, by the way, but pursuing peace, how much better our world would be. 1 Peter 4:8. Like I said, I'm going to go through a lot of a lot of different verses. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. So, I started off this by saying that Christ, he left heaven, which is a perfect place with no pain, no suffering. We're talking streets of gold. We've read about the visions, right, of what heaven looks like. Well, Jesus left that, It also said that Jesus was here in the beginning. He created everything, including you and me. And we've read verses where we were knit together in our mother's womb. How much love does he have for us, even though that we do things that separate us from him? Yet he still loves us. So we should carry that love over to our family. It doesn't matter what your family's done to you. They didn't nail you to a cross, did they? So we have a responsibility to our family. And it's tough, okay? Now, the next thing I want to say is this, is that Christ loves you, and yes, we're supposed to show that love to others, and we're supposed to show that love to our family, but we need to allow Christ to love others through us. So that love needs to be expanding through us. Now, I'm not just talking about money here, but that might be some of it. Like if you see somebody in need, you should allow Christ to love them through you. It might be a phone call. It might be going to their house. It might be talking to someone else who can meet their need. But love is a very, very important thing. It's what family is built upon. It's what this church family needs to be built upon too. So I'm going to move to the church, the responsibility to the church. So we have a responsibility of self, we have responsibility to our families, and now we have responsibility to the church. What is our responsibility to the church? We're going to look at Romans chapter 12 in verses 3 through 13. Starting with verse 3. For by grace given me, I say that to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we are many that form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it as proportional to his faith. And if it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is love, or if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So, stopping there, because there was a lot of information there, and I really wanted to think, there are some people that have a lot of gifts in this church, and I've seen it from people that aren't afraid to get up here and speak, our whole worship team with all the talents, the people who've done specials up here, sharing their talents. Now I'm going to step outside of this building. The people that have taken care of the parking lot, who take care of the graveyard, the people who have went and visited those who are sick. We have people that can do amazing things with concrete, building stuff. Each and every person who worked on the parking lot, that part over there, just the talents that we have in this church. And I've seen you guys use the talents here. I've seen it, okay? Everybody has a talent. We're to share that talent with each other. And I think it's amazing because that's what church is about. And that's the first part of this in the responsibility of church is if you have a talent doing something, you should share it with everybody. It's important, okay? I can remember lots of things that have been done here that I never thought would have ever happened, but people stepped up and did them because they had the talent to do it. And I think it's awesome. So the first point of this with the church is we need to use our gifts to serve, because we're all responsible for everything that happens here. We're all responsible. If you have a gift and you're hiding it, what good is that gift? We're all responsible. I'm going to continue on with verse 9. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. We are to show love and honor. We are to sincerely love each other, not just put on some type of mask of love. We are to be consistent. I think that's one of the most struggling things here. Some of us, we have gifts and then we get burnt out doing stuff, okay? And we're not as consistent as we was. But God calls us to be consistent in what we do and be consistent with our gifts. And I'm talking about our spiritual lives here, okay? If you're a teacher, God has called you to teach. It's easy to get burned out and come here and teach. It is. You do it all week long, and then you come here and you teach, and it's a struggle. God still called you to teach. Okay? God put you in a school for a reason. God put you in a church for a reason. If you're a preacher, if you're a leader, God has called you to do these things, and it's hard to want to do it on a Sunday too when you do it all week long, but you're called to do it. It's a responsibility. So we must be consistent with that. By all accounts, when I walk out of this building, I should look just the same as I do right here. Our kids did a skit a few months ago where they had masks on, and they wouldn't give up their mask to Jesus, but one of them did, and they were saved because of it. But I think that sometimes we all wear a mask. We all try to get through or get around our responsibilities. And this big responsibility here of the fact that we need to be consistent. We need to look the same as we do in here, outside of here. Very important. And then that last one is just in verse 13, it talked about meeting needs. We are to meet the needs of others. And I think that we do that really well, but as a church, that's what we should do. All right? And sometimes I don't think it's, in our church especially, I don't think it has anything to do with us not wanting to meet somebody's needs. It's just we don't know that there's a need that needs to be met. So if at any time you guys know of a need that needs to be met, we need to get that out there, because as a church, we can help people. As a church, we have talents and we can do things. And as a church, we've already seen people come out and do it. You guys raised over $10,000 to send 20 kids to church camp in a very short period of time. That's crazy. That you talk about meeting a need. And then those kids got to hear about Jesus. And then Trevor is up here baptizing people. You guys have talked to your friends and filled up this place with new faces, some I don't even know. It's crazy because I got a lot of students in here that I've seen around high school now that are sitting here in the church, and it's because you guys got them here. You guys spread the message. You guys took up your responsibility to get people in to hear the gospel of Christ, which is amazing. Now, what about your responsibility to your Christian friends? This is the tough one, okay? This is the tough one. Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens in this way to fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each of us should carry his own load. Is that where I was going? Yeah. So, if you read that, we're to guide our friends. So, if you look at your friends that you've brought here, and you look to your church friends that got you in this place, we're to guide each other. We're to call each other out when we see maybe we ain't doing the things that we should be doing. My wife's really good at doing that for me, okay? She's great at calling out things when, and my kids. My kids, I think Kaya May got me the other day, and it really cut me to the heart because I got mad about something. They locked the keys in the car. We're in Menards, okay? They locked the keys in the car. I'm mad. I'm thinking, am I just going to break this window out, or are we just going to, what are we doing here? And I'm mad, and I probably said one of those sailor words or something. And later, Kaya told Tiffany, so Dad gets up there and preaches on Sunday, and then he says something like that. Man, was she right. And it got me. It got me. And I want you to know, from that point on, I've really been thinking about that. Because it wasn't only her. God used her to say something to me. God used her to say something to me because she felt, I mean, it's her responsibility too. It's Tiffany's responsibility to keep me in line. It's each of your responsibility to keep us in line. If you see me doing something that's not spiritually correct, I want to be told about it. That's better than the alternative, right? Iron sharpens iron. Trevor's preached on this. It's very important that if we want to help our friends out and if we want to live better Christian lives, then each and every person in this room needs to sharpen each other. It's our responsibility to our friends. What if they're struggling with something? We're to share in their struggles, okay? The main thing is the last part of this, we're to stay humble. Don't compare yourselves to anybody in this room. Everybody has different gifts. Everybody has different stature. Everybody has different things about them, okay? But we're not to compare ourselves. God's placed us where he wants us, and we have to be good with that. So we shouldn't compare. Everything that we do should show what we believe. Take that with you today. Everything that you do should show what you believe. It's a responsibility. So if I'm not doing something that I should be doing, then I want you to tell me. And I hope that you would be receptive of me telling you when you're not following what Jesus Christ says. Because I want you to know, if you're telling me and you're showing me something in the Bible, it ain't you telling me. Just like it wasn't Kaya who told her mom, who told me. It was God telling me. That was God's way of getting it through. And it's our responsibility. Now, the last one here is to Christ. What is your responsibility to Christ? It's simple. This is the only time in your life where surrender makes you win. Everybody got that? Surrender makes you win. If you surrender your life to Christ, you win. That means you're giving everything to him. Your responsibility to Christ. Matthew chapter 16, 24 and 25. Like I said, reading a lot of verses today. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. We have to surrender. That taking up, that statement of taking up your cross is a big statement. That means you're giving up something. It's more than something. You're giving up your life for Christ. That change that I said happened to me when I was, and when I went into that water, in my life it was a slow change. Like I said, I still did bad things. I prayed a lot to get through those things, but still did them. It was a slow change. Thank God I don't do the things that I did when I was younger. God has changed me, as he has changed you. And it's because, I think slowly but surely, I surrendered. I surrendered my life. It has to, and I want you to know that here lately, it seems like I've even had to surrender it again, because it feels like I was thinking too much about me and not enough about him. And it's my responsibility to surrender my life to him. That's why I think it was so awesome that I get to stand up here and give you guys God's word today, because of the importance of the responsibility that we have to our church, to Christ, to our families, and to our personal responsibilities, to our friends. Responsibility is a big thing, and we all, each and every one of us, have it. And again, for those of you who hasn't accepted Christ, your one responsibility now is to believe what I told you in the beginning, or what God told you from his word. That's your first responsibility. John 14:21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. We have to love Christ. We have to surrender to him. And I'll let you all turn to 1 Corinthians 9:15 through 18, because every bit of this is about you have a responsibility. Yes, once you've surrendered, now you have a responsibility to tell everyone about him. When I started this sermon, I started by giving a quick rundown of the gospel, that this Jesus, the Son of God, came here and died for you. And then he came here, lived a life just like you and me, and he died for you. And on the third day, he rose again, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, so that when those of us who've accepted him, those of us who've followed in the watery grave of baptism, and we're surrendering our lives, when we get up there in front of him, it doesn't matter what we've done. That book's going to say nothing about you, because Jesus' blood washed it completely clean. So when I talk about responsibility, when I talk about your personal responsibility, the responsibility to your family, the responsibility to the church, and the responsibility to Christ, it's to tell the word. It's to let your family know, to let the people of the church know, to let the people outside of this church know what Jesus has done for you. And again, it doesn't matter what you've done. He forgives you. He's going to be the judge. He's going to be the attorney. He's going to be up there saying, no, that one's mine. He's got my blood on him. So, as I close, this is what I want to say. I read an awesome, awesome story from a mega church preacher, whether you like him or not. It's not about him. Rick Warren, okay? But the story is awesome. His dad was on his deathbed in the hospital. And he had been going in to see him, and it was cancer, and the cancer was eating his dad up. And It was getting toward the end, and his dad kept saying something, and it was hard for them to understand. But then it got really clear. He started saying one more for Jesus. Then he tried to get out of that bed, and he kept trying to get out of the bed, saying one more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. When I read that, I got goosebumps. It started making me think and reevaluate how I've been living and the things I've been doing, because guess what? It should be about one more for Jesus. That should be what we do each and every day. That is our responsibility to our family, to our church, to ourselves, to Christ. It's to tell that story that I told at the beginning. You can expand on it all you want. I told a really short version. But it's our responsibility, one more for Jesus. So as our musicians come up and we sing this last song, I want you to think about that. I want you to pray one more for Jesus. And I want you to think of that one. And if that one's sitting in this room because you invited him here, pray for him. Because it's all about one more for Jesus. If you've accepted Jesus, every day of your life should be about one more for him. One more each and every day. And if that person's sitting in this room, it's your responsibility. If you got them here, it's your responsibility. God's put that on you. It's your responsibility to share how God's changed your life. It's your responsibility to share what God could do for them. So one more for Jesus. Let us pray and we'll sing. Dear Heavenly Father,